Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 74 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff Singh. Alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we have no news.
None.
Zero.
Zero.
Zilch. Oh, you owe me a Coke. So we're going to sub in because that's what we're going to do is we make sure to bring you a show every week. So we're going to sub in a new, not a new segment, but... Actually, you know what? It is a new segment, so I take that back. I apologize.
It kind of is a new segment. I mean, we've done it before, but haven't called it a segment.
Right, right, right.
But I guess it could be.
We've got our nostalgia segment. We have your secret question. And we decide, since we have no news, we're going to go ahead and add two of our ending segments. There will be Godfather's Hat and Everybody Has a Price. Everyone, head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt and our brand new Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirt. Dude, I've got to say, I got my shirts yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I got gray and indigo.
I think that's indigo.
You pronounce it however you want to pronounce it.
Did you say indigo?
Indigo.
Listeners, have any of you ever pronounced indigo as indigo?
It's indigo.
Whatever you say, host.
So anyways, the indigo is a great... I actually, that's like my favorite color, dude. Like, I thought the gray was going to be my favorite color with the logo on it, but the indigo is pretty badass.
Indigo, dude. Okay. See, now I'm going to buy a button and I'm going to record indigo into it. And at random points during future podcasts, I'm going to just play indigo.
But that's how you pronounce it.
Sometimes you're just straight up embarrassing, dude.
I know. That's why you can't be seen out in public with me.
Exactly. I can't take you anywhere.
Next year in New Orleans, I'm going to be like attached to your hip and you're like, I don't know who this guy is.
Will you stop?
This isn't the host. I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah. He's just somebody dressed up like the host.
So head on over to whatamaneuver.net and pick up those two fantastic shirts. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and download any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please give us some of those five starsky loves on iTunes. That helps us out immensely. You can email us any audio questions to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, unfortunately, the first time in 3 weeks, we did not get an audio question.
I'm very disappointed. We've really hyped it up. We begged. We pleaded. We said no more emails. Just give us audio. And we got emails.
We got two emails later on in the show. Scott, did you do any toy spotting this week?
Personally, I just went to Walmart looking for that Defining Moments Macho Man. The mistake that I made was I was not wearing my Fully Posable shirt, and therefore I did not find Macho Man. However, my beautiful wife Shannon went to Big Lots, and she was wearing her Fully Posable shirt, and she found Elites at Big Lots.
And which ones?
She found, well, the ones she picked up for me were KO, the one that came with the NXT title,
uh-huh,
and Samoa Joe from that same series. You'll recall also in that series, it was Kofi, Alberto Del Rio, and Jim the Anvil, and Bret Hart. They did not have the Hart Foundation, but they did have the other four guys in that set, so Shan did pick up KO and Samoa Joe for me. Greatly appreciated. Again, it was the luck of the shirt. And man, you cannot beat $10 for Elites. I'm telling you, all day long, I would pay that. They continue to show up with a lot of basics at our Big Lots, but Shan lucked out and found the Elites. It's pretty rare that they show up there. So start checking your Big Lots, folks. They've got Elites.
Yeah, they've actually been having those Elites show up around the country, actually, because a lot of people have been picking up that KO figure for $10, actually. So Big score by Shannon, and it was the luck of the shirt, too.
Yeah, exactly. Luck of the shirt. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled. We've been getting a ton of tweets from people that are hitting their local big lots, and they're having really good success finding those elites. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled, folks. Hit your big lots up.
And a lot of people have had luck finding figures with the fully posable t-shirt.
The proof is on our Twitter timeline. Lots of people. Ant, for example, just found that Macho Man wearing his fully posable shirt.
Yep.
Buy the shirt.
Buy the shirt, dude. It's the luck of the shirt. We bless each shirt with good toy spotting luck.
Yes, we rub our Hogan LJN rubber figures on each one that shipped out.
That's exactly what we do, right?
So if you smell something on that shirt, it's Hogan's rubber.
We're going to bypass that. So many jokes right there.
Moving on. Nothing to see here.
I did do toy spotting. I checked our BrickSeek app, and I went to our Target because the BrickSeek app said that we did have the NXT figures. So Friday night, went down there before the Warrior-Cleveland game where Cleveland beat the crap out of the Warriors. Headed down there, checked the BrickSeek app. Sure enough, everything's good to go. I get there, nothing's on the pegs. So Celeste goes, should you ask somebody? I said, yeah. I couldn't find anybody. Like, literally, the next person was, like, in a food aisle way down at the other end. And I'm like, I don't know if they're supposed to be working that department. Because, like, when you worked at Sport Mart,
mm-hmm.
you were in one certain department.
Right. But it was constant. Because my department, which was hunting and fishing, was right next to the shoes.
Right.
And was also right next to clothing. And right down the way from where, like, the basketballs. And I think they called it the club or something like that. Whatever, with the basketballs and baseball stuff. I can't tell you how many times customers from those sections just came over and asked me for help, and I would have to go find someone. So you should have just gone over to the food, grabbed that person, and been like, hey, who's working toys? And they would have found somebody.
Yeah, that's a good call. I should have. But I wanted to get home for the Warrior game because we still wanted to pick up In-N-Out Burger and head home.
Ah, priorities. Food in the game. Yeah, I gotcha. Food in the game.
So I was like, okay, well, no NXT figures here. So Sunday, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get a haircut and then I'm going to head back to Target and see if I can find an employee that's working that toy section. So sure enough, I walk down the toy section, no NXT figures. Find this gentleman who's working and he's got the red scanner in his hand. And I walked up to him. I didn't get his name like you did with Geraldo and I forget the other girl's name.
Her name was Laura.
Laura, thank you. And I said, if I give you a DPCI code, would you be able to check and see if you happen to have them in the back? And he goes, yeah, sure. What's the DPCI code? I gave it to him and he goes, says we've got a couple in the back. I'll be right back. I'm standing there. It's over by the DVD aisles, which is right next to the toys.
Quick question. Was your heart doing red arrows?
I was like nervous. Like I was hoping as he was walking to the back that nobody would stop him and he would keep his focus.
Yeah, as you're like ready to like super kick anyone that might approach him on his way back to the warehouse.
Yeah, I was in a spearum like Edge or something like that, dude.
Right.
So he starts walking to the back. Sure as anything, he gets stopped by somebody. I'm like, nope, no, stop that. I'm like, go away.
Yeah, you ready for the Monty Brown pounce?
Yeah.
Ready to jump on him?
So he continues to the back. So I'm waiting there. 5 minutes go by, about 10 minutes go by. I'm like, crap, he forgot about me. All of a sudden, here he comes with a shopping cart. And I'm like, oh, like how many does he have in that cart? So he comes walking up and he goes, sure enough, we had one case in the back, dude. Now here's where my heart started doing the red arrows is I haven't held a Mattel Elite case in a long, long time. So holding that case was like holding a child, dude.
I was going to ask you if it was like holding a baby.
Yes. Like holding one of my dogs, dude. I did not want to drop it. I was afraid to rock it, you know?
You pick it up. You're like, shh, it's okay. You're home now.
I'm all petting the paper that's on top. So
that's its diaper, dude. Come on.
Seriously. So he goes, we had one case. And I thought it was kind of weird that the case weighed about 5 pounds, 4 pounds. So I don't know why he brought it out in a cart. It was like royalty, dude. It was like Macho King with Sensational Sherry and all the jobbers bringing them out, right?
See, that's the Target version of red carpet service, dude. It's the red cart service that you got.
So he brings it out and I said, dude, thank you so much. I'm going to put these on the peg for you. He goes, no, just leave it on the ground. We'll put them up. And I'm like, no. I said, you don't understand. I said, I'm going to put these on the peg for you. And he started laughing. So I picked up the case out of the cart. And I walk over to the toy section and I set down the box and I said, dude, I cannot thank you again. And he kind of turned around. And he was laughing and he's all, no problem at all. He goes, anytime. So I wish I'd have gotten his name because, dude, that's customer service to a T right there.
Did he go around the corner and go, Mark?
he was standing 1 mile over with a button.
Hey, if the shoe fits.
So right on top was the first Bailey, because every figure is two per case.
Yes.
So right on top was Bailey. Celeste grabbed my phone and we started Snapchatting it. And so I was like, here's Bailey. You know, I pull out the Bailey and I'm like, I don't like that face that she comes with. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get it. So I kind of set it down and I start scrummaging through looking for the Seth. That was number one priority. So I find Seth and I'm like, boom, here it is. I look and the top, and this is a brand new case, the top of it was kind of bent.
Oh.
Oh, this isn't good. So I started scouring. And I found the other Seth and that one was a perfect card.
Good.
So I hung the one that I didn't purchase back on the pegs.
You said hung.
Touche. So next figure I wanted to find was the Nohei Jose, because I wanted to see if it was as good as you said it was.
Yes, and?
You were right. The only thing the hair's okay. The hair's okay.
Really? I thought that they nailed the hair.
The hair's okay, but I do agree with you. Everything about that figure is perfect except the hair. So out of 10 figures, at a measuring scale of 10 figures, I give it 7.5, 8.
Seriously?
I thought it was... the hair... I don't know. The hair just kind of threw it off for me.
Dude.
Yeah.
I give that figure like a 9.8. I love that Nohei Jose figure, and I'm not a Nohei Jose fan. Dude's entertaining, but that figure is damn near perfect.
You're too generous. It's like on Yelp. If you give everything 5 stars, people kind of look at your Yelp reviews and like, he gives everything 5 stars. I don't know if I could trust him.
Nah, I don't give everything 5 stars, dude, but that Nohei Jose figure is something special.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think that figure is really, really good. Is it up for figure of the year? It'll crack a nomination list, but we'll see.
But how good is that Seth?
Oh, dude, the Seth is terrific.
Yeah, two really, really outstanding figures from Mattel in that series. Like you mentioned, you're not a huge fan of the Bailey. I love the outfit on it.
I agree.
The outfit is just perfect. They basically took the network exclusive head and stuck it on that Bailey, which I'm fine with. I don't mind that scan as much as you do. But the Austin Aries, let's talk about that. What did you think?
That face is terrible. And I didn't want that figure. I told the editor, I said, I don't want this figure. And she goes, well, you have to have the whole first set. And I was like, no, I don't.
That's the only reason I haven't returned it yet, is because the whole first NXT set.
He has this look of like he's Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Like he's all down in the dumps and depressed. And I'm like, what is up with this figure? Like the face scan is terrible.
Why you got to be mean to Eeyore comparing the Austin Aries face to him, dude? That's not very nice.
I know. I kind of dig Eeyore. He was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, but it's not a good Aries figure, dude. And it's worse than his basic, right? Like, I wasn't a huge fan of the basic, but I think it's worse than his basic.
I haven't seen the basic out and about, but from judging from pictures, I have to agree with you.
Yeah, based on pictures is what I mean exactly.
Yeah. So I have to agree with you. I think the Aries is terrible. The jacket isn't enough for me to purchase that figure.
Yeah.
It was the editor that had to purchase it because she wanted me to have that whole first set of the first NXT Elites.
Yes, and that's why I'm keeping the Austin Aries and not returning him, is because I do want that first full set. Do you kind of wish they would have made... Because they made 10 NXT figures total, right? They made 6 in the basics, correct? And then they made 4 in the Elites.
Well, then also the NXT ring.
Oh, okay. So not including that, I'm just talking about the packaged figures. They made 10. I kind of wish they had split it in half and made Cien Almas an elite.
Or Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, but I honestly think since Ty is hitting the main roster, he's going to be due for an elite here anytime. I wouldn't be surprised to see a sculpt of him at Comic-Con right around the corner with the jacket, with the big collar on it, you know, kind of like Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon. I could see a main roster Ty getting an elite figure, which I would kind of prefer. So maybe I'm just a big fan of Cien Almas' ring work, but I kind of would prefer maybe getting 5 elites and 5 basics.
That would make sense.
But hey, you know what? I'm super happy with what we got. The 4 basics that we were given, excellent, minus that Austin Aries. The Nohei Jose and Seth Rollins are just outstanding, super good figures. And the basic series, did they have any of those or was it just the elites?
You know what? I didn't even punch in the code for the basics. I just punched in the code for the elites because that's all I wanted. I'm going to wait for the elite tie. Everybody says the Cien Almas is really, really good.
It's outstanding from the pictures I've seen. It's really, really good.
Check on the basics, but I was like, nah, I'm good. I just want the elites. That's all I want.
Gotcha. From what I'm hearing, some people are actually being turned down because apparently these basics, and I guess the elites too, aren't supposed to be released until the 18th of this month.
Correct.
So some people are actually getting rejected when they're giving them the DPCI codes. So good luck to those of you that still have those codes and you're hitting up the Target employees. Best of luck to you. Be sure to wear your Fully Posable shirt, and you more than likely, you know, mention Scott, mention Jeff, and they'll be walking a case out to you, or wheeling, in Jeff's case, a case out to you.
How funny would that be, a Snapchat of someone going, hey, I know Scott and Jeff from Fully Posable, so bring out the case.
Yeah, yeah. And the Target employee's like, oh, whoa, dude, really?
Oh, wait, you listen to the Fully Posable podcast too?
Hold on, let me check those DPCI numbers again. Oh, wait, we do have cases in the back, sir. I'll be right back. And then you get the red cart service, dude. They come wheeling that right out to you. Just got to be wearing your shirt.
Before we jump into our no news, that's what we're going to call it, no news segment.
No news.
We do have an omission from last week. Thank you to Chris Dean on Twitter. Omission, RVD came with the TV title, not the world title, and Taz came with the heavyweight title. We got schooled.
Yeah, yeah, again, it's not the first time, and definitely will not be the last, but yes, he is 100% correct. Taz was an ECW heavyweight champion, and RVD was the TV champion.
I may need you to start pulling the nostalgia segment notes again. I've just been kind of looking at them real quick at work and then writing them down, and then that was it.
Yeah, I kind of skate a little bit too on it. I'm like, okay, I know this figure. I'm almost positive I know this figure. So when I saw the picture of RVD and he had the title on, I was like, oh yeah, he came with the heavyweight belt. Well, duh. I completely overlooked the belt on Taz. So, yeah, hey, you know what? It happens. Thank you for calling us out. Please, if you ever catch us slipping, bring it to our attention, and we'll definitely correct it on the next episode. I guarantee it.
By the way, what'd you think of Bane's new video?
It's catchy.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's catchy. And I'm sure the Roman Reigns haters can absolutely see Roman Reigns doing that, too.
My favorite part is, so Bane from Breaker and Bane is coming out with another rap album. And he put out a video, and it's called Roman Reigns. So if you're a Roman Reigns fan, go check it out, because a lot of Roman supporters can understand it. But how funny was it when he had the wrestling figures of Charlotte, and I believe it was Bayley, that was kissing him on the cheek with hearts popping up?
Yeah. That's good animation right there, sir.
that song is catchy, dude. Sometimes I'm like walking around the house, and I'd be like, I'll go up to the editor, I'm like, and Roman Reigns.
You know what I like is when they do the soda challenge, when they let listeners vote for their soda that they're going to taste. I just wish that we could do something like that, but only with WWF ice cream bars.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool, dude?
Yeah, hey, I'm going to try this Hulk Hogan ice cream bar. Hold on. It's delicious. Okay, Jeff, you try the Macho Man one. How does it taste? Oh, this one's delicious too.
Exactly like Hogan.
Yeah, and the Elizabeth tastes just like the Ricky Steamboat.
Oh.
And I didn't mean anything by that.
Gosh. Oh.
And the Strike Force tastes just like the Hart Foundation. They were all awesome and I want them back.
I wish they actually did follow through after CM Punk said that.
It would have been amazing. We would have had them back. And I think the last one that I had, I want to say it had to be around 05, 06 maybe. Do you remember when that local guy, the ice cream man around here in Tracy, he was coming around, and I hit him up one day and I was like, hey, do you have the WWF ice cream bars? And he goes, I don't have any in my truck. He goes, but I can get you a case. It was one of the greatest days of my life. And sure enough, I got in touch with him, and we bought off of him a case of WWF ice cream bars. And wouldn't you know it, I think there were like 10, maybe 15 in the case. All of them except for one was Kane.
Oh, okay. So I had that same issue because I found a liquor store around here. And I swear, dude, I bought 9 of them and all of them were Randy Orton.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, dude, it was. It sucked.
So you got out there in the East Bay, the Randy Ortons. Out in the Valley, we got Kane.
Right.
They gave my wife bad dreams, so she had to stop eating them. I blame Kane.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, he's evil.
So Scott, we are going to go into story time. Story time with the tunes.
Yeah, hopefully we don't put anybody to sleep.
We need music. I got to write these down. I really do.
But this segment doesn't have music yet.
I know, we need music.
Let's see. Who told stories in the WWE?
Dean Douglas? No. Oh, Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, did he have music?
No. He told poems. He didn't tell music.
He had poems.
Matt Stryker?
I don't even know what his music was.
I don't either. We got to find some cool music.
This is confusing. This sucks. This job is hard.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise to you and us.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise to Scott when he hears it on the show on Sunday.
Exactly.
So let's hit up that music. So, Scott, how did we come up with that music?
So, yes, in between segments there, we decided that we were going to go with Stone Cold's music because the most essential part is the glass breaking, and then the music starts in. That's us walking into a store, finding something really cool. It's that feeling that you get walking in, like, I'm going to find something, dude, and you got that kind of, like, Vince McMahon swag walking into the store, glass breaking behind you. Well, at least that's kind of how I feel when I find something cool.
I walk into every store like Vince McMahon's strut, and I leave every store out here like John Cena dejected at WrestleMania 28.
I usually just sit in the aisle like Mankind and rock back and forth when I don't find anything, try to console myself.
So this is story time with the tune. Since we have no news, FTC just came out with their figures. They're doing pretty well from what I was talking with Chris. Go check them out, Figures Toy Company. Go check out the new releases of ROH Series 2 and Rising Star Series 2. So go check those out. No new Mattel. We're kind of on the, whatchamacallit,
the calm before the Comic-Con storm.
There you go. That's exactly what it is. So I'm not expecting much out of Mattel for the next few weeks. So we may be doing this more often. But Scott, story time with the tunes. This week's theme, finding a figure that you were on the hunt for.
Yes, I'm sure we've all had this story, and it's that feeling that you get when you walk in, you know exactly the figure you're looking for, and you see it sitting on the peg or on a shelf, and it's that, I hate to keep going back to it, but it is such a good line. It is your heart doing red arrows as you get to run and grab that figure off the peg or off the shelf. You know the feeling I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, or a Target dude bringing out a case of NXT figures.
Right, getting the red cart service.
Exactly. So, Scott, why don't you kick off the store? Actually, I'll kick it off.
Oh, okay. Cut in line.
Yeah, I'm going to step in front of you on this one.
Line jump. Okay.
So we're going back to 2000. And I've told this story on the podcast numerous times, and you guys might have heard me say, for our newer listeners, you guys might have heard me say before, the Hardy Boys fangirl scream that Jeff has done. And I'm going to explain that right now. And so if you guys have heard this, you'll hear it again. Because we're not editing this out. So this
nope.
goes back to 2000. Scott and I went to WWE Access, and we actually went with a few friends that trip.
Yes, we did. Because it was in Anaheim.
The friends ended up splitting and going back to Disneyland. So Scott and I were kind of at the convention center by ourselves, just walking around. We're walking around, we find the Jax booth. And in the Jax case, a glass case that they had, there was the Hardy Boys. Now, at this time, we hadn't had Hardy Boy figures. Everybody was hovered around the case because they wanted to see the brand new Hardy Boy figures. And which series were they in?
Double Slam.
Everybody was hovered around this case. And there sat the Hardy Boys, bunch of fangirls like us, looking at these Hardy figures, admiring them.
Trying to figure out how to break into a case.
Right, we're trying to figure out how to leave the Anaheim Convention Center with this case in tow. So Scott and I are talking about him the whole trip. That kind of starts the hunt. When are these coming out? We didn't know. We didn't have really much on wrestling figures on the internet at that time. There was a few little forums where people would talk about wrestling figures, but there wasn't like Twitter. There wasn't much of anything at that time. I'm going to college. It's the summer of 2000, and I had been out toy hunting the night before and a couple days previous to that. So I'm on the hunt for these figures because I know that people were finding them because they started popping up on the internet.
Yep.
I head over to KB Toys in Southland. Nothing there after college, after summer school, I should say. I went over to the KB Toys in Southland. Nothing. I went over to Toys R Us. Nothing. I head over to Bayfair Mall. And it's midday because I got out of college at around, I think it was like 11:30. So I'd already hit up two stores. So it's about 12:30 around this time, 1 o'clock. I walk into KB Toys, San Leandro, Bayfair Mall. Now, if anybody who knows the Bay Area out here, San Leandro, Bayfair Mall isn't the best mall. But when you're on the hunt for figures, that doesn't stop you. you're willing to get jumped in parking lots. You don't care when you're on the hunt for figures.
You take a bullet for those toys, damn it.
Literally.
Yeah, you're actually liable to.
I didn't care, though. I was on the hunt for these Hardy figures. I walk into KB Toys. They're sat on the shelf because they kept their wrestling figures right in front because everybody was collecting wrestling figures at this time because wrestling was red hot. They're sat one set right on top of the shelf is the Hardys. Now, I start almost hyperventilating like the actual Hardy boys were right in front of me. I'm like, I start taking quick, deep breaths. I'm like, I run over and I snag them off. They're standing up properly too. I snag them off the shelf and I let out a scream like your oldest daughter seeing One Direction a few years ago, right, Scott?
Yes.
Two workers are working behind the counter and they look at me like, what the hell was that? Like, did the Hardy Boys just walk into KB Toys? I pick them up, dude, and now I'm like shaking and I'm still like hyperventilating. I just found these Hardy Boy figures. Now, this is the thrill of the hunt. This is the red arrows that are shooting out of me, right? I walk up and I'm kind of like still in disbelief and trying to catch my breath that I had just found the Hardy figures. Because I was heading to numerous stores a couple days previous, and they had that set out there, but they didn't have the Hardy figures. So you were finding everyone else except the Hardys.
Yeah, there was like a Triple H and Billy Gunn or a Triple H and China in that set. And then I think there might have been another two-pack. And those are the ones you found a ton of. But yeah. The Hardys, it was like Willy Wonka trying to find the golden ticket. They were impossible to find unless either A, you knew somebody that worked at a store, or B, you got lucky like you did.
I go to the car. I didn't care about being jumped. I didn't care about anything, dude. I was just so happy to be holding the Hardy figures. I got home, or back to mom or the benefactor's house, and I'm sitting on my bed, dude, and I didn't put them down. I couldn't stop staring at them. I'm just like so happy to have these Hardy figures because you knew I was like a huge Hardys mark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. Like the Hardys were what? Next to Stone Cold, the hottest thing in wrestling? Triple H?
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, there's no doubt. If they weren't at the top of the card, it was pretty darn close. Them and The Rock and Stone Cold were like it.
Yeah. So anyways, that is my story time of finding that one figure that just kind of, whoa, holy crap, you know, that I finally found it and I'm holding it and I can't believe it. And it's like when I found the Macho Defining Moment a couple weeks ago, dude, I still haven't seen that on our shelves.
Yep.
And I just sat there and just in amazement that I was holding the very first Hardy Boy figures. So Scott, you can either go into your Hardy Boys, finding your Hardy Boys, which you've told on the show, or is there another one that you have?
Yeah, my Hardy Boys story definitely is nowhere near yours. I knew a girl, and for some reason, I can't remember her name. I want to say it was like Margaret or something like that, but that's probably not even close. Mulva? So, I actually got to know her. She worked at the KB in Livermore, and she would call me when they got figures in. And that's how I scored the Hardy Boys. It wasn't the thrill of walking into the store and not knowing. It was I walked into KB Toys and knew that she had just put the two packs out. And I literally just like walked up and grabbed the Hardys off the peg. Like I didn't let out a scream. My heart wasn't doing red arrows.
So she didn't hold the Hardys back for you? She put them out on the peg?
No, she goes, there's nobody here. I'm just going to put them out on the peg. And I was like, yeah, go ahead. I'll be right there. And it literally took me like 5 minutes to get there.
Oh, dude, I'd be breaking every rule, dude. I'd be going through red lights, cutting people off.
Here's the thing, that if I had walked in and I saw somebody walking up to the counter with all of the Hardy Boys in their possession, they would have gotten super kicked. Like, it would have been that simple. Like, I would have taken at least one from them. And I wouldn't have even felt bad about it. But it wasn't, you know, I walked in, grabbed them off the peg, and I was like, sweet, I have the Hardys now.
Yeah.
I could stop looking, because I was literally at Toys R Us every single day in Stockton, because I was living in Stockton at that time. So working in Livermore, I would hit Walmart and Tracy, and then I would go out to Stockton, drive to the mall, hit KB, and then there was the Toys R Us right there attached to the mall. I'd hit Toys R Us and then come back home. But yeah, that girl totally took care of me. But the story I would like to go into is actually the one that I told a couple weeks ago, where I went into Toys R Us and discovered that they had released new LJNs. But I just told that one. So I think I'm going to go into like a story like yours with Jax. And I'm not sure if everybody recalls it, but the very, very first Stone Cold figure that came out.
Oh, yes.
Jack's Bad Boys, a.k.a. Jack's Bone Crunchers Series 4, had the very first Stone Cold figure that came out. Probably one of the worst Stone Cold figures that Jack's ever released, but definitely one of the most sought after. We were hitting Toys R Us in Hayward. Man, if it wasn't daily, it was probably five times a week. Because, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, you were starting to see them pop up on eBay and different forums. People were saying they were finding him. I was on the phone with FAO Schwartz in San Francisco every day because I thought maybe somehow they would get the figures before everyone else. And I had no problem jumping on BART and going out there. Mm-hmm. But we were hitting Hayward Toys R Us every day. We were hitting KB at Southland Mall, KB at Stone Ridge, KB at Bayfair. We were hitting all the stores. Well, one day, I don't remember what day of the week it was. I remember Nathan was still working at Caesar's Chicken because he had to have the figure too, but he had to work, so he couldn't go toy hunting with us. But it was me, you, and Dave, Big Dave. And we went to Toys R Us in Hayward, and they must have been doing a huge stock project because they had a ton of pallets on the floor and a ton of boxes. And so being the collectors that we are, we started box hunting on the pallets. And sure enough, one of those boxes said Jax. WWE or WWF Series 4.
Yep.
Dude, I think you and Dave provided the cover because you were the tallest. I jacked that box right off of that pallet, threw it on the ground, and I think I had a box cutter or a knife or something on me because I always had one at work with me.
Right.
I think I had one on my hip, cracked that box open, and dude, four Stone Colds. We pulled fresh right out of the case.
I still remember that, dude.
That was awesome.
Yep. We headed over to Toys R Us in Hayward in Dave's little Ford Escort.
Yep.
Blue Ford Escort GT and scored it right there, man.
Yep. Full case.
And that's one. And that was one figure where like, yes, I got Stone Cold, but man, that's not that great of a figure because he had white boots.
But you know what though? Like when you got that one, it was okay because it was like with the ECW figures. You had a Stone Cold figure. You know, like with the ECW figures, yes, I have an RVD. I don't care that it's not the best one. It's still an RVD action figure. And in this case, it was still a Stone Cold figure. So I think in that case, there were four of them. So I got one, you got one, Dave got one, and we bought one for Nathan and took it to him at Caesar's Chicken. And he was like the happiest Caesar's Chicken worker that day. He was so happy. As were we. We were just like almost jumping up and down. And of course, you and I being the collectors, we bought that entire series. Which I think it was Sid, maybe Ahmed Johnson. I forget off the top of my head, but I know Sid was in that set too. All pretty bad, but hey, we got that Stone Cold figure and that was such a great find. And like we usually do, I think we took that case over since we had opened it and we stocked the shelves with them.
Yep, we sure did.
Yep. So there are other stories like that. I could have gone into Castro Village Toy Shop and literally holding an unopened case of Hasbros in my hand. But I think I'll save that one for another time.
Oh, if you could do that right now.
Oh, dude. Yellow card. Red card.
Green card.
Green.
Purple.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The blue. Yep. All of them. All of them. I want that carved on my headstone when I die.
All right.
Yeah. Make it so.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. Right next to he really loved Taco Bell.
Scott, we have ECW figures yet again.
Yes, we do.
Let's hit that nostalgia segment.
Let's talk about it. I came to play. There's a price to pay.
Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play. Scott, we are reviewing ECW figures yet again. What do you say you hit up Series 2?
Yes, sir. ECW Series 2 consisted of the Dudley Boys, Devon Dudley and Bubba Ray Dudley, Lance Storm, Tommy Dreamer, and New Jack. Just five in this set.
But aside from Bubba and Devon, did you get all five?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Okay, you did get all five.
Yeah, I also found these at the Toys R Us in Stockton. That seemed to be the hotbed for the ECW figures for the Valley. And so I really lucked out on Series 1 and 2. I had no problem finding them. As soon as I read that people were starting to find them, I hit up our Toys R Us in Stockton, and they had just put them out. It wasn't case fresh or anything like that, but they had just, I think I had been there the night before and went back the next day just to check, and boom, they were sitting on the pegs. So no open cases are sitting out, but they were sitting on the pegs, and I picked up all five of them. Was so happy to finally have the Dudley Boys, because I was a huge Dudley Boys fan.
Bubba and Devon, they were in their tie-dye and their
overalls.
Overalls, thank you.
No tag titles, unfortunately.
Yeah. Lance Storm was in his green and black?
Yeah, green and black. Yeah.
Green and black. Tommy Dreamer was in his ECW t-shirt. New Jack was in his, I guess, kind of cut-off sleeve shirt. And
his gangsta gear.
Yeah, basically. They were pretty good. I like the Dudleys. I thought those were cool.
Yeah, I was super excited to get the Dudleys. Obviously, everybody that was collecting the ECW figures wanted the Dudleys. So they were super hard to find. I didn't have a lot of success continuing to find the Dudley Boys after they first came out. I grabbed them as soon as I saw them and then didn't see them a whole lot after that. So I don't know if Series 2 is when it kind of started to dry up a little bit, but I had a harder time finding them after Series 2. It was one of those things, if you didn't grab them when you saw them, chances are pretty good they were going to be gone.
I did pick up the Dudleys. I think I, too, found them at Hayward Toys R Us. I didn't pick up anybody else because at this time I was collecting Simpsons Playmate figures.
Oh, right, right.
So I was still collecting Jack's. ECW, I was having to limit myself on because I was also collecting Simpsons, and I was not picking up Toy Biz. That was not my thing.
You and your Toy Biz hatred, dude.
Oh, dude, despise.
The ECW figures were cool, though. I really, really did enjoy them. I really like the Dudleys in this set. The other ones were really good, too. I like the Dreamer. It's exactly how you would picture a Tommy Dreamer figure. Black pants, ECW shirt. He looked like most of the guys in the audience.
These were very Hasbro-esque.
Oh, with the little gimmick, you mean, on the back?
Not just the gimmick, the plastic and just the way they looked. They were just very Hasbro-esque.
I could see that. A little bit larger in scale. But yeah, I could see the whole plastic thing that you're describing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not as well done, though. Nowhere near as well done. Again, we're talking, you know, Hasbro versus OSFTM. But for what OSFTM produced, I was happy with it. Again, we were getting ECW figures. How bad could that be?
Scott, you got a secret question this week to fill time.
Just trying to do a podcast here, folks.
Even though you get a secret question every week, you got one again this week.
Yeah, there's no getting out of it. It's like taxes and death and heartburn.
Let's hit up your secret question. Scott, your secret question comes from special guest Sean. You recommended it last week, and yeah, he produced.
Oh, you actually took one of my ideas.
I always take your ideas.
I'm moving on up the food chain here, folks.
I'm throwing fish heads at you, dude.
Yeah. Ew.
Feeding the beast. So, Scott, from special guest Sean, let's say WWE and Mattel decided to do a custom website where they do custom figures just for collectors.
Oh.
So, because he was kind of taking off of what Ant did with Scribbles. Of
yes.
Getting a custom Owen. So the question is, who would you want and what is the price point that you would kind of draw the line at?
Wow.
Yeah. Excellent question. Special guest Sean always does this, dude.
Yeah, Sean. Excellent, excellent question. You know, we've discussed customs before. The first thing you have to ask is, who don't you have in your collection yet? There aren't many that I don't have, which is why Ant did the right thing. Like, if he was going to have a custom made, do somebody you don't have. He didn't have an Owen Hart. Boom. Done. It's perfect.
Since this is a WWE Mattel, you could do Midnight Rockers.
You could do a Midnight Rockers, but that's kind of what I'm wondering is, does it have to be guys that they have the license to only? Or are we able to think outside the box and be like, hey, I want an El Generico figure? Is it open-ended? I mean, or is it just guys that are under the WWE umbrella?
That's an excellent question. I did not think about that one when he asked that.
Hey, look, you're asking me a secret question, dude. You need to have all the details figured out before you bring this to the table. This is completely the reason we can't have nice things.
Let's go ahead and do it where you can have anyone you want.
Okay, so completely open-ended. Mattel is just like, send us a name and we'll make them.
Right.
Well, this is almost like a wish list.
But what would be your second part of that question is, what would be the price point too?
You know, I immediately want to say Kevin Owens or Kevin Steen,
uh-huh.
But I've got that. I would have loved to have had a Kings of Wrestling 2-pack.
Ooh.
Man, that's so tough. And they're in Mattel scale, right? I can't be like, hey, make me like Powers of Pain LJNs.
Correct.
Okay, so it's totally Mattel scale. You know what? I think I'm going to say SummerSlam 92 Road Warriors on the motorcycles with Paul Ellering and a little Rocco. Hey, if they can make a Hornswoggle, they can make a Rocco.
So you do want the gold shoulder pad ones?
I do. I do. I think that that was such a cool look for a kind of a one-time entrance thing for the Legion of Doom. They'd never done that before. What would you pay for something like that?
And you know what? When they do the shoulder pads, it has to have that gold shine to it. Because if you remember when they rode down, it wasn't that dull red that they normally came out with, the traditional right. red. That was like a shiny gold. It's got to be shiny gold too.
Yeah. Yeah. They were totally blinged out. It was such an awesome, awesome look. I would have to, because I'm such a huge Legion of Doom fan. I would want that. I would want a Midnight Express. Mm-hmm. I would want a Rock and Roll Express.
I think that one's coming.
And I want a British Bulldogs.
Yes, absolutely.
So out of all of those, if I could just pick one, I think I'm going to side with the British Bulldogs. Done right. Let's see, which outfit would I put them in? You know what? I would go baby blue tights.
Yes.
With the Union Jack on the booty.
Yep.
Package them with a decent looking Matilda. Am I hitting all your notes here?
Oh, dude, I'm just being showered over here.
Yeah. it's just toys, dude. It's okay. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is a British Bulldogs 2-pack in the baby blue tights with the Union Jack on the butt, packaged with the Matilda. And you know what? What the hell? Throw Captain Lou in there, too.
So the price point?
And you know what the hell? Again, throw Ozzy Osbourne in there, too. We're going to go WrestleMania 2 British Bulldogs here.
Okay, this has become a Four Horsemen 4-pack, dude.
Perfect. Give me Ozzy, Captain Lou, the British Bulldogs, and Matilda. I don't care that Matilda, I don't think, was there when they won the titles, but that's okay.
Dude, you're hitting all my senses over here. Now we got metal music represented.
Yes.
We've got the Bulldogs, and we've got rubber bands. Perfect. Let's go.
Yeah, we're hitting all of our fetish points here. So I'm thinking you're going to be right in the ballpark. Now, you're not doing any crazy costumes or any elite accessories in this thing, aside from Matilda, right?
Correct.
So I'm thinking you've got to be in the neighborhood of like $60 for something like that.
Okay. Well, this is kind of a one-of-one thing.
So it would be like custom packaging as well?
It'd be custom. It's yours. It's a one-of-one custom packaging, custom figures, custom everything.
Hmm. Okay. Well, since I'm going to make my own 4-pack here, do I want Captain Lou and Ozzy? Or do I want the Dream Team?
Ooh.
And you've got that WrestleMania 2.
And they need to be packaged with the tag titles, but that needs that dull finish because the old tag titles had that dull finish look.
So since we don't have a Mattel Greg Valentine, let's do this. We're going to do like a humongous box set here. We're going to go WrestleMania 2, British Bulldogs, Ozzy, Captain Lou, Dream Team, Luscious Johnny V, and Matilda.
And the price that you would pay for that?
$1 million. Just kidding. No, something like that. You're looking at 7 figures plus an accessory being Matilda at elite price points with special packaging. I'm thinking that's a $200 set.
That's what I was thinking too.
That's all. Could you imagine the size of that? I'm thinking it wouldn't go long ways like the Four Horsemen and the Heenan family. I'm thinking they would want to do like a tower type box.
Oh, dude, that would be sick.
You know what I'd want for custom packaging would be like a gate. I don't know what you call it. Like, it's not gatefold, but it's got like Velcro on the very bottom. And you open it up to reveal behind the window, the plastic window, all of your figures. And the part that flips up would have the WrestleMania 2 logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
just print the money right there.
I'm thinking San Diego Comic-Con exclusive next year. Who wouldn't buy that?
Bill over at Mattel's like jotting this down like a mile a minute, dude.
Right. Okay, WrestleMania 2 box set. Got it. No credit to Fully Posable. Done.
He probably doesn't even know what Fully Posable is.
Fully Posable? What is that?
What the hell?
Does that mean the ponytail falls off of the Ty Dillinger figure?
Was that the gentleman church I visited last night?
Hey, easy.
Easy. Easy.
Careful, Dane.
All right. I like what you did there, dude. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know why WrestleMania 2, but we need some Bulldogs, and we need some Dream Team. We need Captain Lou. We need Ozzy, and we need Matilda and Johnny V.
Bring it. Was Matilda there at WrestleMania 2?
I don't think so, but you know what? You can't really have the Bulldogs without Matilda, so just throw her in.
Yeah, you can.
Dude, that's like having Legion of Doom without Rocco.
Oh, is it time to move on to your next segment?
No, you brought this upon yourself. So are we happy with that one? We like it? With the opening front of the box with the WrestleMania 2 logo, little piece of Velcro at the bottom where it opens up. You know, all the figures sitting there when you open up the front of the box.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm just picturing it in my head, and it's beautiful.
You know what we need? Custom ring carts from WrestleMania 3. And
yep.
Have like little micro machine type things where you put Andre, like little miniature Andre and little miniature Bobby Heenan, and the cart kind of rolls.
Oh, dude. Could you imagine if that was this year's Comic-Con exclusive? Bobby and Andre in the WrestleMania cart for 3?
Oh.
Oh, Bill from Mattel, dude, come on.
Basically handing you money right now, dude.
Has literally, in the history of wrestling action figures, never been done.
Right.
But it's one of the most popular WrestleMania accessories ever. I've already told Shannon, if we ever win the lottery, I'm having one of those ring carts built for myself, and I'm going to roam my humongous property on my little rolly ring. It's going to have a little steering wheel. I'll drive it around like a golf cart, but I'll be standing. I'll be saluting nobody in particular, but I'll be driving in my ring cart.
Top speed is 5 miles an hour.
Right. It'll be like, you see me rolling. It'll be awesome, dude. It'll be amazing. I've always wanted one, but to have one for my figures would be, dude.
Oh, this is great, dude.
Could you imagine how cool that would look inside of a package, Bobby and Andre in the WrestleMania cart?
Or what about George Steele and Ricky Steamboat?
That would be awesome, too. Macho and Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Yes. Yes. Dude, see, these are the things. We're almost going wish list here, but...
For your secret question, we should have done Sami Zayn's music instead of Ricky Steamboat's. Because we just went wish list on everyone.
Yeah, we kind of did. We kind of did. But that's okay.
That's all right. That's all right.
That's okay. We bring it back a little bit. We bring it back. Hopefully the listeners enjoyed that part.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was all like free flow, come up with an idea from Mattel.
Oh, but they won't listen.
God, picturing those things in my head and they're amazing.
Well, what's the great thing about this show is like even the listeners are sending in ideas, like wish list ideas that are pretty great.
Yes.
You know, it's like, hello, you know, you can listen to this show.
Yeah.
Listeners are feeding us over here.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Yeah. Anyways, they won't listen.
One of these days, they'll know our name.
So, Scott, this week we are doing Godfather's Hat. We decided to add a few more segments since we had no news. So, what do you say we do Godfather's Hat?
Let's do it.
Come get on the train. Tripping ain't easy.
Scott, we are playing the Godfather's Hat this week.
Hopefully he's not pissed we took it.
We don't even have a hat. I need to go to a Goodwill store and pick one up.
Play along, dude. Come on. You're ruining the gimmick, dude. Kayfabe, come on.
I think he's mad, dude. He's furious.
He's pissed. Yes. He loves that hat. It's like stealing his child.
The hat and the cane, dude.
Loves the hat more, though, because we took it. And all we do is pull names out of it.
In the background, you can hear me shuffling up the papers. Because I forgot the hat in the bedroom, and again, the dogs are back there, and if I open up to go grab the hat, there will be pure chaos during the middle of the show.
Right, we don't need that.
So, Scott, Godfather's Hat, there are 6 names in front of me, all crumpled up on post-it notes. I cannot see the names, so I'm going to shuffle them up, turn my head to the side, and grab a name.
Okay.
And cough. So...
I hate that exercise.
Let's see which name we are going to talk about. So, here we go. The post-it note has been grabbed. I am opening up. Oh, this is good. This is good.
Who are we discussing?
We are going to discuss Elite 43, Bret Hart.
Oh, one of your least favorite Bretts.
Yes, exactly. So, Scott, Bret was in Elite 43. This series was the KO that you just found. And Samoa Joe.
Yep.
Alberto Del Rio, which a few shows ago, I actually made the comment that John Cena was the last person with the U.S. title. It was actually Alberto Del Rio in this series.
Oh, they need to make a new U.S. title holder.
I think they are pretty soon, aren't they? We talked about that on our previous show.
Jericho or KO? Do we know?
I can't remember. We talked about it a couple episodes ago, but we'll look into it. But on that show, I said this will be the first figure with the U.S. title. Since John Cena Elite 40, well, I'm kind of going back to the omission. Alberto Del Rio in Elite 43 had the U.S. title, and I actually got corrected by a fan on that one.
Ah, who remembers Alberto Del Rio anyway? Who's that guy?
That's exactly what I was thinking. So anyway, oh, Paige does. So,
sucker.
They also came out with the Hart Foundation, and I remember when they first announced the Hart Foundation, I was so stoked.
Yeah, Hart Foundation Elites, dude.
Yeah, are they going to do the blue and black? Are they going to do the traditional pink and black with the 86 look? Then the pictures were shown, and boy, was I disappointed by that Bret Hart face sculpt or scan. That figure in my eyes is awful. It's one of, as Scott said, it's one of my least favorite Bretts.
Now, what era Bret would you put that in? That's not like 86, 87 Bret head. That's what, 90, 95, 96 maybe?
The Hart Foundation one?
Yes. Or is that just a bad Bret head and you don't like it at all?
They were trying to go with 86, 87 and it failed miserably.
Well, the outfits are perfect.
Oh, the outfits are absolutely stunning. Pink and black, traditional pink and black. The gym is perfect.
Yes. We talked about that on a couple of shows. Not many companies have screwed up Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Correct.
But they were packaged with the 87 tag belts. That was good. The outfits, so the Bret figure from the neck down, perfect. The Jim the Anvil Neidhart figure altogether, perfect. But you're not happy with the face that they put on that Bret Hart figure.
No, and here's the bad thing, is they're throwing it on the basic battle pack where they are in blue and black.
Yeah, so they screwed you over again.
Right.
You're saying it should be maybe a younger sculpt on the Bret?
I don't even know what sculpt they were going for. It has to be 86, 87.
Okay. I don't hate... I actually like that Bret, and I like that Jim. I actually own them loose. And if I had known, or if I didn't have them and I had known that Big Lots had them, I would have gone and picked them up and I would have opened them. Like, I wanted a loose set of Hart Foundation, and I actually really like that Elite 43 set. But to hear you riff on it, and you're like a huge Bret Hart fan, so like I defer to you on this one.
But I mean, if you go back to 86, 87 and look at Bret, that's not Bret. Or even 87, 88, that's not Bret.
Okay.
I don't even know which era Bret they were shooting for, but that's not Bret, dude.
So like, this is one of those figures for you, like if the camera starts down at his boots and it starts panning up, you're like, yes, yes, okay, there's the Hart Foundation. Yeah, that's the tights. Oh, there's the 87 belt. That's perfect. Oh, and then I'm seeing the top of his singlet. That, yes, that's perfect. And then as soon as it gets to the neck, everything starts to go downhill for you.
Yeah, it's like dial up, dude.
Right. But at least dial up back then was satisfying. For you, this is complete dissatisfaction. At least dial-up connected at some point. This was a complete miss for you.
Oh, this chick is sending me a picture from this AOL chat room. Yes, yes, oh no.
Wait, is that a beard?
So, anyways, yeah, I think it's the face that just disappoints me with this figure. And you're right, dude. It's like everything else is great. The title, the body sculpt. But then that face just hits and you're just like, no bueno.
And you're saying that the sunglasses on the figure didn't even help?
No. Just like the Sasha Banks, it didn't even help.
True, true. Yes. I'll tell you what, though, that thing looks really good autographed hanging on the wall, though.
Happy with it?
Very, very happy with it. But we're not talking about Sasha right now. We're talking about that Elite 43 Bret and how much you dislike
Mark.
It. That was uncalled for,
Mark.
Dude.
What?
You're incorrigible.
So anyways, the Godfather's Hat produced Bret Elite 43, and to say like Iron Sheik, hawk, puh.
Okay. I will say this though, on display, if you've got the Jim with the sunglasses, the Bret with the sunglasses, they've got the tag titles on, you've got the Hall of Fame Jimmy Hart standing in between them, at a glance, it's still pretty darn cool.
I can imagine that it is cool. Like, my Four Horsemen, I look at my Four Horsemen, even though they were elite, they didn't come with much, but I look at them and I'm like, oh, cool, I have the Four Horsemen. You know, yes. It's kind of probably like that.
Yes. I still wish that Tully would have come with a robe, darn it.
Yeah, I agree. I wish the Maddie Collector would have come with a robe.
Yeah, I mean, great call to put the tag title with him, but give us a robe too. Him and Flair both should have come with robes.
And like the Lex Luger from that Jax Classic series.
Yes.
I still say to this day that he needed a robe on that one.
At least the half robe that he wore sometimes.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Either one would have been good, but we got nothing.
Completely agree. So, Scott, we're going to round out this show with a couple listener emails. And did you pull four figures?
I pulled four figures.
And did you use Mike the Cleaner's suggestion?
I did, and we'll give him credit for such when we get to that segment.
Let's hit up Everybody Has a Price. Scott, before we get into Everybody Has a Price, We did receive two listener emails, not audio questions.
Unacceptable. Those are right out.
We appreciate every email.
But not as much as audio questions. Let's be clear.
This is like good cop, bad cop.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, Scott, the first email actually comes from the scorekeeper of the Magnificent Seven Fantasy League.
Oh, right on. Okay, perfect.
So this comes from Jeremy Conrad. He says, hey guys, love your unboxing video of the NXT ring. Nice job, dude.
Thank you.
Here is my top five that I've been meaning to send in for months. And he says, no particular order. He says, Hasbro Macho King Randy Savage.
Yes. Awesome, awesome figure.
Mattel TRU Mania 27 Triple H with robe and mask. I love that figure. It actually kind of fell off my top five because the more I thought about it, Bret Hart Hasbro Red Card is my favorite of all time.
Yes.
But still an excellent figure. Mattel NXT Finn Balor Basic with NXT ring. He says, I know it's new, but they killed it with this one.
I agree. 100%. Awesome looking Finn.
That was in your video.
Yes, it was. And I had a little helper.
Yes, you did. Number four, Mattel defining moment, Macho Man Randy Savage, WrestleMania 7.
We can't argue. He won the round of 64, and he has his own pin. Boom.
Check out Pollyanna DIY for that pin. You can purchase that Macho defining moment pin. Just follow him on Twitter, at Pollyanna DIY. And he says, I know I said that they were in no particular order, but his all-time favorite, his number one, Mattel ringside exclusive Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
So the one in the red and the white tights?
Yep. I actually have that one autographed.
Yeah, that is such an awesome, awesome figure of Shawn Michaels' initial singles run. Can't go wrong with that one.
Jeremy also had two questions for us. Number one, do you guys ever swap parts on figures to make them more accurate?
No, I'm not that daring.
I'm that same exact way. I do not like hearing any breakage of figures. I can barely handle the sound of bubbles being ripped off cards.
Yeah, I was never one to take my toys apart. I was always the kinder, gentler kid with his toys. And the thought of like you busting them apart, just it doesn't hold an appeal to me. With that said, I really, really enjoy seeing custom figures and parts that have been swapped, i.e. one of the Shawn Michaels that came out. They swapped heads on him, and I believe it was on the one in the blue tights that was reminiscent of his Bone Cruncher.
Uh-huh.
They swapped heads on that one and it looked amazing. Like it made the figure 10 times better. So while I do enjoy watching other people's or seeing other people's work, I'm not brave enough myself to tackle that.
I'm with you on that one, man. I do like the one where somebody took a drill bit to Mark Briscoe and pushed him down further on the neck.
Yes.
And I want to give credit to the gentleman that did that, and I'm drawing a blank right now.
That was so long ago on the podcast. That was over a year ago.
It made that Mark Briscoe a little bit better because the neck was so long on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it helped.
Just by dropping it a little bit just made it so much better.
Yeah.
Second question. If you could recreate any WWE event poster from history with figures, which one would it be?
Ooh.
I've already got mine ready.
I think WrestleMania 6's poster would be sweet.
I was thinking that one too. I was thinking WrestleMania 3. But what about Royal Rumble 92 with all the guys on the 92 or 91?
That would be your winner right there.
Is that was the one with Hogan?
That was 91.
91, yeah.
That's your winner.
Yeah, that's my favorite event poster of all time.
As cool as it would be to have Hogan and Warrior on that poster recreated, it would be that much cooler to have that Royal Rumble poster that had both of them anyway, along with 100 other guys on the poster. That would look amazing in a recreation.
So that email comes from our scorekeeper Jeremy.
Thank you, Scorekeep.
Thank you, Scorekeep. He bit the bullet and is doing the scorekeeping.
Man, I don't envy that job.
Our second email is the subject line is NXT Target Miracle. This comes from Jeff. His name on Twitter, or his handle on Twitter, is at USA in LON92. First time, long time listener, emailer. He said, growing up, I distinctly remember having Goldust and Stone Cold figures. I'm thinking he's talking about the BCA figures.
Uh-huh.
Who can forget my Jax Maximum Sweat Big Boss Man figure? He said he started collecting WWE figures again during college and hunted for WrestleMania 28 TRU exclusive CM Punk. He says he's collecting elites now, having near 50 figures mint on card, and close to 90 displayed loose. He says, I have never made a purchase this large at Target or have had such a successful toy spotting in my nearly quarter century of collecting. If I had not gotten paid today, this would not have happened. Working part-time while going to graduate school only allows for so much disposable income. I utilize the strategies discussed on previous episodes. As you might know from Twitter, he's been scouring Long Island Target for the NXT line.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a location closest to his house, no luck. But since it was before work, I didn't ask any associates for help. He says, I have in the past, but often am told what is on the floor is what they have.
I hate that line.
Yeah. Not to mention that the Long Island area is filled with scalpers. I haven't been having any good luck toy spotting. I did find the defining moments macho, but it was a fig swap this past Tuesday.
Oh, that would infuriate me.
After work, I went to Target near there. They had one defining moment macho sitting on the shelf next to a box of Pop-Ums. And he said finding the macho defining moment, his day was already made. Goes, after eating dinner, I decided to go to a second Target near his house and again found nothing. Since I had some free time, I went to the guest services line. I offered him the DPCI codes found on Twitter, politely asked him if they had them in back. The associate asked which ones I wanted. I said, one of whatever you had. I did not expect them to have any. I offered to put them on shelves if they if they had any as a thank you. Learned from listening to previous episodes, Seth Phelps, he laughed and remarked and smiled. He then says to his supervisor he must run to the back to get them. Not knowing which figures he had, the associate goes into the back, disappearing for 20 minutes. Now I'm anxiously pacing the guest services area. I see him coming towards the counter with a cart of every single figure in the NXT exclusive line.
Red cart service.
Normally I would have been careful about which figures of the line I picked up. The Seth, Finn, Ty, Cien, and No Way Jose were all must-haves. Having never been in this predicament, and to quote Grimm's Toy Show, for the thrill of the purchase. I thought it was thrill of the hunt.
I would say it's both.
Yeah, whatever. I purchased one of every basic elite and the NXT ring with Finn. Now my problem is no longer hunting, but debating on opening some of the figures such as the No Way Jose.
Yes.
For now, all figures from this miracle are staying mint on card. I hope you enjoyed hearing about my NXT miracle and learning about my collection. Keep up the great work. It is great to know there are other fans like me who are not only passionate about professional wrestling, but action figures also. Sincerely, your loyal fan, Jeff.
That is an awesome story, dude. Like, I could imagine as he's wheeling the cart. Well, you've been there. You know exactly what that feels like. But just to have the cart wheeled up to you with every single figure plus the ring, it's like, yeah, I'm just going to go to a cash register now and ring this up. Like, done.
Now, my question is why are they carrying them out on carts? Like, is it royalty? Is it like a royalty treatment?
Red cart service, dude.
I guess so. I guess you're right. But
it's very special.
Any way, shape, or form, like for me, when he was wheeling out the cart with one case, I was like, dude, the box is like 4 pounds. You don't have to wheel out a cart.
Well, you know, like some places or some restaurants, I should say, they make the servers bring everything out on a tray. Yes. Like maybe that's Target's thing. Like if you're going to take a box out, we don't want you carrying a box, like put it on something. Could be a safety thing with Target. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be ergonomics type thing.
And could we call it a Fig Life courtesy? Now, putting the figures up on the pegs for the associate that goes to the back and gets them?
Yes. Any associates that work for Target, if you make the attempt, we are going to hang the figures on the pegs.
Fig Life courtesy.
All of our listeners to raise their right hands and repeat after me, we the people.
No, we the people. Oh,
everybody's
sorry.
Everybody's taking the Fig Life oath that we will hang whatever figures we receive on the pegs that we don't purchase.
Yes.
That is a courtesy to all associates that actually go to the back, make the attempt, and bring out figures.
Yeah.
We will do this for you.
Yeah, as long as you don't tell us everything we have is out on the floor, and you actually go on back and we'll hang all the figures for you. No issue.
Actually, if you tell us everything we have is out on the floor, we're going to take everything off the pegs and you have to restack those.
Exactly. We're going to throw everything you have on the floor, literally on the floor.
What did Seth Phelps buy? Not Pop-Tarts.
Oreos.
And then we will buy Oreos and leave.
Yes. And possibly Garvin stomp a figure or two on our way out the door.
No, okay. We can't do that.
Okay. Yeah, we won't do that.
Yeah. So thank you to Jeremy, Scorekeeper Jeremy, and Jeff for sending in your emails. That's great to hear, man. Scott, we are doing Everybody Has a Price. Everybody seemed to actually love this episode, but we made some tweaks this week.
Yes, we did. Thanks to Mike the Cleaner. He actually gave us a great pointer on how to better run this segment. Instead of going through live auctions and kind of guessing what the figures are going to sell for, he pointed out that we should go through the sold. That way we have a better idea of what you're actually going to pay. Gives us a better idea of what the figures are actually worth. So this week, I have taken the reins on this one again, and I have selected four figures. And honestly, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this one. It goes across four different toy lines, and I think you're going to enjoy it.
I actually enjoyed this segment. I think this is really cool. I think this should be your secret question for me.
Okay. I like it. I like it. It kind of allows me to give you a little punch back.
Right. That's actually why this segment was actually created, was for you to get back at me.
Yeah, we've turned the podcast into a game of Rochambeau, and everybody gets to listen and enjoy.
Right, right. So, Scott, which four figures do you have for me this week?
Well, first, let me ask, do you have your pencil and paper ready?
Yes.
That was the official sound of pencil and paper.
Yes, I do. I do have my pencil and paper.
Okay. So, first figure up, Hasbro, Kamala Moonbelly.
Oh, Jesus.
No, Kamala Moonbelly. Hasbro didn't actually make a Jesus.
Okay.
Second, LJN, Hulk Hogan in the red shirt.
Okay.
Third figure, Galoob Dustin Rhodes from the UK.
Okay.
That one was kind of for Marty DeRosa, actually, in case he's listening. Last figure in this one, Remco Matt Mania, Ric Flair.
Okay.
Do you want to do highest to lowest again?
Yeah, we'll do highest to lowest.
Or if lowest to highest works better.
Okay, I am ready.
Okay, which way are you going?
I'm going to go lowest to highest.
Okay, that works for this week.
So, for lowest, and I have to throw out a price.
A ballpark, yes.
I'm going to go Remco, Matt Mania, Ric Flair.
As the lowest?
Yes.
Incorrect. Remember, these are mint on card.
Yeah. So it's Dustin?
Also incorrect.
No way. So Hogan LJN, huh?
Incorrect.
Are you kidding me?
You're going from lowest to highest.
Right.
Yeah, three strikes, you're out. The segment's done. I win Rochambeau.
Okay, let's not kick me there, but... Wait, I'm going lowest to highest. The Kamala Moonbelly's the lowest out of all of those?
That is correct.
Oh my gosh.
Let me confirm right now. Right now, while I have you on the phone, I'm going to go to eBay, and I'm going to punch in Hasbro. Kamala Moon Belly, because we all remember now he had a star as his common, and I am looking at a Hasbro mint on card. This was the yellow card, moon right. On yellow moon on his belly, carded 1993, sold for $96.
That's it.
Yep, and a loose one sold for $35.50.
When did that auction close?
That auction closed on May 16th.
Whoever got that scored big time. Somebody didn't know what they had.
See, if I was guessing on this one, when I put this list together, I would have actually had the Dustin UK as my cheapest, as the lowest one on that totem pole.
Those UK figures always go for some money, though.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So, yeah, it's kind of a shocker.
Wow.
So, Kamala Moonbelly is the cheapest of those four.
Which is amazing, because I was actually thinking, because every auction I've ever seen with Kamala Moonbelly has always gone for...
Like Dusty Rhodes money.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I've got to figure out the second lowest. So Dustin Rhodes?
That would be correct. Dustin Rhodes sold on card $122.
I was about to guess $150.
You would have been close.
Let me guess the next one. So obviously it's Matt Mania, Ric Flair.
You would also be incorrect.
Really? Hogan LJN?
Yes, in the red shirt. Would you like to guess how much that figure sold for? And I will give you a hint. It's sold on a buy it now.
I will go $475.
Higher.
$825.
Higher.
$1225.
Higher.
No way. It's that black card series.
I don't joke about LJNs, dude.
$1950.
You're really close right there. Bring it down.
$1850.
$1,800.
Oh my gosh.
That is 1,800 American dollars that somebody paid for, what, 7 inches of Hogan rubber? In the red shirt.
A lot of people have paid some big prices for Hogan rubbers.
Some people even got them signed.
So the Remco Matt Mania Ric Flair is more than $1,800.
Would you like to guess how much a mint on card Remco Matt Mania Ric Flair sold for?
$2,200.
Higher.
$2,600?
Really, really close. Higher.
$2,800?
$2,700.
When did that auction close?
Ric Flair Matt Mania... In the white robe, closed robe, by the way. See, those always sell better. $2,700 sold on April 22nd.
Unreal, dude.
$2,700 for a Ric Flair mint on card Matt Mania. And that is why I wish we could have found those when we were younger. None of them would have been on the card, but we would have had them loose and they would have been in decent shape. I figured, looking at that list of the Matt Manias, I wouldn't have said that Flair would have been my pick to be the lowest price on there. I would have actually guessed Dustin Rhodes, but Flair might have been like my second or third choice. He wouldn't have been the most expensive figure. I, like you, would have guessed the Hogan red shirt LJN being the most expensive.
That's pretty impressive, dude.
And I want to tell our listeners too, if you guys ever wanted to go back and buy some of these older figures, you'd actually be surprised at what some of them do end up selling for on eBay. It's not as bad as you think. The more that I get involved in this segment and start looking up old prices, it's kind of surprising, actually. If you're looking at loose ones, especially, you're going to pay pretty good money for them, but it's not as bad as you think it's going to be. For example, I saw some white and red shirt Hogans loose in really, really good shape for well under $100.
But for carded, it's $18.
Well, that's the issue. If you're a mint on card only guy with these older figures, you're going to pay through the nose and you don't have much choice because, you know, supply and demand. How do you buy action figures from 1986 still on the card and in a good condition card at that with no yellowing on the bubble? Good luck. You know, if you want that, you got to pay for it. But if you're open to displaying them loose, which one day I hope to have a big curio cabinet in my front room filled with my LJNs, my Hasbros, my Remcos, you know, when I go back and start trying to complete some of these pieces, for example, the red shirt Hogan, the white shirt Hogan, I'm definitely going to be looking at eBay to do that because they've got some decent prices for loose figures.
That list was shocking, dude. Like last week's list, I could kind of see.
Yeah, you were really good last week.
But this week, dude, I was my list was way off.
Yeah, this week the list was the Cavs and you were the Warriors in game four.
Yeah, in game four. Game five, it was a total different story.
Yeah. The Cavs weren't going to play two perfect games in a row.
Correct. Well, good job this week, dude. Nice job.
Yeah, no, that was fun. I'm really digging that segment. Like everybody else, man, I'm really enjoying it.
Good, man. It's actually become a very popular segment just in 1 week. I was actually surprised how well everyone took to it. They were just like, that's an awesome segment. I was like, cool.
I would like it if listeners could direct message me and throw me some figures, like ones that are kind of like the Ric Flair Matt Mania, for example. You hear it and you know everybody in that Matt Mania set and you're not thinking that he's going to be that valuable. If you know of some values on some, you know, rare figures like that, throw them at me. Throw them into my DMs and I will absolutely promise to put them in Jeff's future lists.
Listeners are sliding into your DMs, dude.
Yeah, exactly. They're all going to be my new tag team partner. We're coming after you, Jeff Toon.
Hey, wait a second. I'm your tag team partner, dude. We have a t-shirt that shows it. We have two t-shirts that show that.
Ah, good point. Okay, they're the big show to your cast. You're my normal tag team partner. They're just kind of filling in occasionally.
Oh, good job this week, dude.
Thank you, sir.
Everyone, head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt and the Fully Posable Classically Jacked t-shirt. That's the best way to support this show. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes and give us that 5-star-ski love. You can email us any audio questions, wishlists, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, next week we are 3/4 of the way to 100.
Almost there, baby. Almost there.
I'm looking forward to the 100th episode.
Yeah, is that the episode where I get to drink?
Oh, we should make that.
Yeah, that episode needs to happen. Maybe we'll have some special guests come on and they can share a drink or two with me and we'll talk wrestling figures and we'll go crazy. It'll be a fun episode. It'll be a party, a celebration.
Yeah, we've got to figure out how to structure that one.
Yeah, or it may not have any structure at all. It could just be, you know, 1 hour of free form, whatever kind of pops into our head, whatever figures we want to talk about.
I don't think it's going to be 1 hour. I think it's going to be like a rant with Ant one, 2 hours.
It could be.
So, Scott, for episode 74, anything else?
Yes, before I get to my normal happy toy hunting remark, I do want to stress at Pollyanna DIY has gone above and beyond with his latest pin, the Macho Man, for that round of 64. please, please, please go visit him on Twitter. Check out his link. We've retweeted it also. Go buy that Macho Man pin. It is, and I'm not exaggerating, it's amazing. It is literally taking that Macho Man defining moments and shrinking it down into a pin, and it's perfect. He did such a killer job. The backer on it is the defining moments packaging. I guarantee you will love it. Guarantee it. It's also limited edition. He's not sure how long he's going to have it up for sale, so there you go. Go buy that pin. All that said, happy toy hunting.
And the amount of work that he put into it also.
Yes, like I said, he went above and beyond with that pin. It shows. It's perfect. Go buy the pin.
At Pollyanna DIY, where you can buy the pin is in his bio on Twitter. He's also on Instagram at Pollyanna DIY. So please go support Pollyanna. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.